Good evening, everyone, and welcome to First His Kingdom Family Church, where the Word of God will change your life. We just want to welcome you here on this Tuesday evening, May the 2nd, 2023, for another edition of our Daily Bread. And yes, I said May the 2nd. Believe it or not, we're already in May of 2023. Time is flying by. And so just another reason we need to make sure we just live every day for the Lord. And don't take any moment for granted. Amen. Well, let's go ahead and open up in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Father. We thank you for your presence. We thank you, Holy Spirit. Lord, we just praise you in this day. You deserve all the praise, glory, and honor. And Father, for this message this evening, we thank you that you direct our tongues to be able to speak what you have for the people to hear. We pray for the hearts and minds and ears for each person listening, Father, that they will receive the message and their life will be changed. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, this is Daryl Weatherly, and I'm here with my wife, Grace, and we're so glad to join you this evening.
Hello, everyone. We are glad that you are with us. So, yes, we're in May the 2nd, and this is going to be our last daily bread, because starting this Sunday, May the 7th, we are starting back to meet in person. And that is, I think we're all in agreement that we're ready for that. We're excited to see your beautiful, shiny faces and get to worship the Lord together and learn and grow and come together again for God. And I know I'm excited because I know it's going to be a new chapter. We are starting a new chapter at FHK, and I'm so excited about that. Before we get started with tonight's, you know, where we're going to go tonight, I'd like you to take your Bible, and we're going to do our confession. So repeat after me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I am who it says I am.
I am who it says I am.
I can do what it says I can do.
I can do what it says I can do.
And I have what it says I have.
And I have what it says I have.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
And you know what? That's a lot.
It is a lot.
He has a lot for us. So many promises.
He does. And I'm so blessed by that confession every time I say it. Because when you think about the Bible in terms of this is who God says we are, He tells us who we are. There should not be any identity crisis to a Christian man or woman of God. There should not be any. When we're faith walkers, we look to the Word and God to show us our identity. This is where our identity comes from. So we are who it says we are. Then He tells us what we can have. And we have what He says we can have. And we can do what it says we can do.
Amen. We heard somebody the other day say the Bible is Jesus in print.
That's exactly right. Because Jesus was the Word made flesh. So the Word is Jesus in print.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. And this is another thing I heard that I really like. What's in the Bible is not true because it's in the Bible. I said that backwards. The Bible isn't the truth because it's the Bible. The words that are written in the Bible are there because it's the truth.
Because it is the truth.
Yeah. This is the truth that the Holy Spirit allowed to be put together for the Bible for us. Mm-hmm. And that was divinely breathed by Holy Spirit. So everything in the Bible is truth. It is meant to show us, to be a roadmap for our lives. And as faith walkers, you know, this is where we get our instructions from, our identity, what we can do, who we are, what we can have. All of it is in the Word. And before you start thinking, well, it just sounds almost like greedy when I say, this is what I can have. But this is what God is telling us. And guess what? Whatever you are is not just for you. It's for others.
Well, you know, and that part about it being our identity, I mean, these days, there are so many things that can challenge your identity. So many things you hear people saying and what they're doing. And we don't want to focus on those things, but sometimes it just, you know, flashes in front or whatever. But you need to know who you are in Christ.
Yeah,
and if you know who you are in Christ, nothing Nothing can shake you.
That's exactly right. Nothing. So we just want to encourage you on our last daily bread here to really, we're going to circle back to faith and we're going to circle back to Abraham. I know we spoke about Abraham a couple weeks ago and we were talking about contending for your faith and holding fast to your faith. And Abraham is a great example for us. And we read about him throughout the New Testament. He's in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews 11. He's in Romans 4. He's sprinkled throughout the New Testament as an example to us because Holy Spirit wants us to see this is kind of, he is the father of our faith. Mm-hmm. And so Abraham, we can look at him and say, wow, look at that. I want faith like Abraham's faith. So we're going to start reading in the New Testament in Romans 4. And we're going to start reading a little bit about Abraham in the New Testament version of what we're being given about his life. So let's start in Romans 4, verse 1.
What then shall we say that Abraham our father has found according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
And there he is. I mean, it's telling us Abraham was justified. Why? Because he believed or trusted in God. And he did this in spite of just all kinds of things. Remember, he was actually told to leave his country, to leave his own people, because he was going to start God. And it's not like God said, I want you to go from California to Wisconsin. No, God didn't give him where he was going. He just said, leave.
Just go.
Just go.
Just start.
I'll tell you when you're there, but just go, leave. So step one was leaving. Mm-hmm. So just that alone would take so much faith just to leave your own, where we were born and you were raised and your family and all your surrounding friends and familiarity. And then you're being told to leave it and not given a destination. Mm-hmm. That is faith. So we can see here that Holy Spirit is showing us in Romans 4, talking about Abraham and how he was credited and justified because he believed and trusted in God. So now let's jump. We're still in Romans 4, but let's go ahead and go to verse 17.
As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations, in the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, in hope believed, so that he became the father of many nations according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. And not weak, being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb, he did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God, and being fully convinced that what he had promised, he was also able to perform.
Wow, there's so much there. Read 19 again.
And 19, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old and the deadness of Sarah's womb.
Okay, so that's him. This is Abraham, and he was strong in faith because he's not considering the circumstances of his body. And they were pretty big circumstances. He was 100. And he was not considering Sarah's body. So many times when we're thinking about faith, especially when it comes to healing, people will see somebody else not get healed. Mm-hmm. And then they'll say, well, they'll allow somebody else's condition affect their faith. Mm-hmm. We should not do that. We should not. Abraham didn't. It says he did not consider another person's body. It didn't matter. And he didn't consider his own, but then he didn't even consider someone else's. In this case, it was Sarah's. This is how we should be. This is a clue for what we should be. We should not be considering, well, that person didn't get healed and I'm praying for the same thing, so what makes me think I'm good? Listen, each one of us, we run our own race, and it doesn't matter how close you think you are to that person. If they're related, they're your best friend, you've known them for, you know, half your life. It doesn't matter. Every one of us runs our own race. And so you don't know the situation and all the details of why they may have struggled or may have not gotten the manifestation before, or they're still struggling with an illness and they've been praying for a while. There's all kinds of things. We all run our own race. So we are not, when we're built up in faith, it is because of this. What Abraham, he was laser focused. He did not consider the circumstances of his own body or that of another person. But here's another clue in verse 20. And I'm going to read it in the Amplified. No unbelief or distrust made him waver, doubtingly question concerning the promise of God. But he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So when you think about what makes us have strong faith, this is it.
Not wavering.
And he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So that tells me that when we give praise and glory to God, we are strengthened. Our faith is strengthened. We are strong and empowered and grow strong in our faith. So when we all think about faith, I think it's too, and I'm just going to say it, I think we're the biggest bullies. And sometimes we give the enemy a lot of credit for stuff that's really just coming out of your own thought life. And you're beating up on yourself, or you're saying, why can't I have strong faith? So-and-so has strong faith. That person, he always seems to, you know, have strong faith. She always seems to have strong. I wish I did that. Why? And maybe you're looking at your past faith failures. You know, we can just beat up on ourselves and get so discouraged. And what I really want to park on here is God is giving us, I'm not even going to say clues, because they're not hidden. Here it is in the Word. How did Abraham grow strong? We were all, when we're born again, we are all given a measure of faith. Now, what you do with it, that's your part. That's my part. All of us have a part to play. Are we watering that seed of faith, that measure of faith? Are we feeding it the Word? Are we putting fertilizer, you know, growing and strengthening? Remember, faith works by actions. Mm-hmm. It is a verb. Are you putting your faith to work? Hearing, faith comes by hearing the Word, yes, and we should hear the Word a lot. But it's not activated until you put it in motion, because faith requires action, a step of faith. So when that's why I really was impressed with the, you know, one of my favorite scriptures is we walk by faith and not by sight. We are faith walkers, which means we don't consider circumstances like Abraham. We don't waver. But how do we do that? And someone might say, well, how do you do that? Well, here it is in verse 20. No unbelief or distrust made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong and was empowered by faith as he gave praise and glory to God. So this is how we can feed our faith. This is one of the ways.
Well, he was giving his attention to God.
That's it.
I mean, you can only really give your attention to one thing at a time.
He wasn't giving his attention to his body.
He wasn't focusing on
Sarah's
barriers,
body.
The barriers, right. Or the problems. Or right. He wasn't focusing on that.
So here we are in New Testament, in Romans. And like I said, the story of Abraham is sprinkled throughout the New Testament. He's an Old Testament figure in you know, the Bible. But he's brought to the New Testament for a reason. He is our father of faith. And so I believe Holy Spirit put this in the New Testament to show us this is who we should try to look at as a guide for where we should be. But now I'm going to get to the part where I really want to encourage you. That was just our introduction. This is not who Abraham was all along. And so it's easy for us to see, oh, look at Abraham's story, and we're focusing on the end of the story, the happy ending, you know, the good part. But Abraham was not always like, Abraham's faith had to grow too. And so what we're going to do is we're going to go back to Genesis, and we're going to go to chapter 15, and we're going to look at the beginnings, like where Abraham was. And I'm going to set this up for you. I encourage you to read this whole story of Abraham, because there's a lot there. But this is the part where he's having a second vision. He's already had the first vision from God. This is the second vision from God. And, you know, Abraham, just big picture, he tried to meet his own needs at two different times for this promise. God said, I'm going to make you the father of many nations. And so one of the times he tried to meet, you know, he and Sarah tried to figure stuff out on their own, because don't we do that mm-hmm. when things don't happen fast enough, or we think we have to do something, perform to make it happen. We start filling in the gaps, and it's usually fleshy stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of them was Hagar. Hey, I'll give you my maidservant, and then she'll give you an heir. And, you know, that did not work out. Mm-hmm. But here is another example. Abraham had a servant in his house who he was very fond of and treated him like a son. And he was going to, Abraham thought, well, maybe he'll be my heir and my seed will go through him. Anyway, we're coming into the story of Abraham in 15 when he's about to have his second vision. So let's go ahead and start in verse 1.
After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abraham in a vision, saying, Do not be afraid, Abraham. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abraham said,
I'm sorry. You're right. Let me interrupt you. I'm sorry. I had told him, stop reading after verse 1, and then I'm so wanting to get to the rest of the story, I'm paying attention to the word. You're right, Daryl. You were right to stop there. Okay, so when I want to park on verse 1 because, okay, this is his second vision, and this is God telling him again, I am your shield. Fear not. I am your shield. Your compensation, your reward shall be exceedingly great. So he, again, can you imagine having a vision? And then Abraham gets a second vision. Okay, but look at how Abraham responds to this amazing thing. Imagine God showing up in a vision to you, telling you, Fear not, I am your shield. Your abundant compensation and your reward shall be exceedingly great. This is amazing. Let's see how Abraham responded in verse 2.
But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?
So here's Abraham calling himself childless. Remember how in Romans 4:17 we're supposed to call those things that be not as though they are? He's not doing that over here in Genesis 15. He hasn't arrived at that level of faith yet. He's at the level of faith where he's seeing a vision of God, and he's answering him saying, hey, I'm childless. How's this going to work out? Like, I'm thinking I'm going to go through my servant Eleazar to get heirs, but you know, I'm childless. What's he saying? He's rehearsing the problem. He is speaking the facts, not the truth. The fact is he's childless.
And we can refer this to pretty much every day of our life.
Yeah. What are you speaking? What are you saying?
Yeah. Am I trying to figure this out on my own? Am I seeking the Lord for his help and what I should do? Should I go right? Should I go left? What should I do?
And also, what am I saying along the road?
Oh, yeah. What are you saying?
Because if you're speaking the circumstance, you're not speaking the promise and you're not speaking the word. Well, you're rehearsing the problem. Mm-hmm. And so here's Abraham saying, I'm childless. Okay, so now let's go to verse 3.
Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir.
So again, Abraham doubles down. And I think one translation said, I have no seed. I'm considering Eleazar to be my heir again. So in one verse, he comes back and calls himself childless. And then the next sentence, he says he has no offspring. He has no seed. So, you know, this is where Abraham was. And I'm not criticizing Abraham. He's Abraham. We know how the story ends. It ends well. But this is where he was back in Genesis 15. And what that tells me, and I hope what it says to you, is that we are on a journey. We are all growing in faith, and we should push ourselves to grow daily in faith. Abraham did not have the Romans 4:17 level of faith here in Genesis 15. He's calling himself childless, and I have no seed. I have no offspring. This is how he's responding to the second vision of God. He's telling him the problem. So clearly Abraham is not, he's not there yet. But what I love about Abraham's story is this isn't the end of the story. This is part of the story. And I hope it encourages you. It sure encourages me. Mm-hmm. Because when you think that you have had some faith failure or you have not seen something you've been praying for, yes, go to God, ask him, where am I missing it or what? But also know that as long as you're seeking God for the answers and speaking his word and not speaking the problem and not wavering, then you will get there. You will see the manifestation of God's promises in your life if you do not doubt or waver. Mm-hmm. And again, that goes to your level of faith. Well, when you're a baby Christian, you know, you may not think you have the faith muscles, but what I love about God is he's so good. And if you can remember back when you were a baby Christian, he dazzled.
Yeah.
He shows off because he's wanting you to see, I've got you covered. Now, but he doesn't stay in that chapter because he wants us to develop and grow our faith. And as we mature, and I heard something that speaks to this, you know, there's the Bible is so dense that you can wade into the waters of the word and never reach the bottom. It's just so deep. But it's also shallow enough for you to go play and have the water be around your ankles. Mm-hmm. And so what is that? Well, some of the word is referred to as the milk of the word, and that's meant for comfort. And I've heard people refer to this as, you know, when you're a baby Christian, you really feed on a lot of milk verses, meaning verses that give you comfort. And that's fantastic, and we need that. But we shouldn't stay there. And just like a baby develops first on its mother's breast milk and feeding, it eventually goes to solid food. Mm-hmm. And another part of the word is called the meat, right? Mm-hmm. And that is meant for meat is meant for change. So milk is meant for comfort. The milk of the word is meant to comfort us, but the meat of the word is meant to provoke change, meaning that it grows us. It challenges us. It takes us to new levels in our faith walk. And so we need both. Neither, you can't just only have this or only have that. And thankfully, the word gives us all of it, so we can feast on all of the word. But what I'm trying to get to is just to encourage you that we should not rest in wherever your faith is today. You should, you know, I hope that when you hear the word and we're sharing with you and just any kind of the daily bread that Pastor Rose and Pastor Jesse and Brother Andrew share is an encouragement for you to grow your faith. None of us should stay at a level of faith that satisfies us, because we should always constantly go to the next thing and the next thing and grow in the word and feed and fertilize the faith and all the faith seed and all of that and feed it on the word so that it grows. And you come out of every single circumstance with a new set of muscles ready to face whatever else comes, because God wants his children strong and confident and able and not fearful of anything the enemy could bring, because with God, nothing is impossible. Mm-hmm. In him, we are strengthened. I am strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Ephesians 6:10.
Amen.
Love that scripture. But, you know, this this story of Abraham is so good. I encourage you to read it. But as New Testament believers, and that's really where, as Christians, we should probably spend the majority of our time is in the New Testament. I'm not speaking against Old Testament because it's great as well. But, you know, there's so much we can learn in the New Testament. But Abraham is woven through the New Testament for a reason. But when you look back and read his old story, you can see he had to develop his faith. He was doubting. He had some, but that wasn't the end of his story. So don't be encouraged. If you have not seen the manifestation of your promise, of what you were believing God for in whatever area, don't stop. Examine yourself. Look at your faith walk. Watch what comes out of your mouth. Are you practicing, rehearsing the problem? Or are you wavering? Or are you speaking the word only? Encourage yourself and don't stop. Abraham did not stop. He did not get tripped up on this thing. Even with two, he had two kind of falters. One was Eleazar, thinking that was how he was going to get his heirs. And the second one was with Hagar. Mm-hmm. And that didn't work out either. Because God's best was always Isaac.
Yeah, you know, and we should just feel so thankful and so loved, because the Bible, it's basically a guide for us to grow through adversity. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you think about any story you've read or any movie you've seen, those are the most interesting stories, where you have someone who has a challenge and they overcome it and they grow. They call it the arc of the character, I guess. They grow, right, and they get through whatever the adversity is. Well, I got a news for you. We're all going to have some adversities.
All of us.
You know, some big, some small. And then you've got a handbook.
Yes. Tells us the answers.
Tells you how to grow through that adversity. It's so empowering if you stop and think about it.
It is. And if you look at it with that perspective, that we grow through what we go through. If you look at it in that way, then you don't see circumstances or even crises or things that come against you. You don't look at them the same way. You see them as an opportunity for growth. Mm-hmm. Because you already know the end of the story. We all know how the story ends. In case you didn't know, it's a happy ending.
Yeah, amen.
Amen. Amen. So again, I just want to thank you all for listening to us, for being here and sharing our Faith Walker moments that we've had on the Daily Bread. We've enjoyed it, and we so thank Pastor Rose and Pastor Jesse for allowing us the opportunity. It's been such a privilege. We look forward to seeing you, hopefully, in person starting next Sunday, or this coming Sunday, for our in-person meetings now.
Amen. And you can go to our website, fhkfc.org, to get the details about where we're going to be meeting. It'll be on starting this coming Sunday. I also want to end with our word for the month, our scripture for the month, in Nahum 1:7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knows those who trust in him. He knows those who trust in him. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Well, thank you all again for joining us, and we'll see you soon.
God bless everyone.